Hello, Michael Lombardo here. Welcome to Awaken Podcast. This is episode 249. If you are new to the podcast, we have episodes releasing every Monday on charismapodcastnetwork.com. You could also go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, anywhere podcasts are listened to. You could also go to our YouTube channel. The video portion is released on there. So you could subscribe so that you could watch the videos on YouTube. And so we are starting this year talking about the practice of the presence of God. You were born to know him intimately, not just when you die and you go to heaven, but you were born to know him here and now. This is John 17. This is eternal life, that we would know him and the one who sent him, to be caught up in the communion of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And not just when we see him in glory, but right here and now to know him. I was a drug addict. I was broken. I wanted nothing to do with God. But at 19 years old, when I encountered his presence, I realized that it was for this reason that I was born. This is what I was meant to experience, to walk with him, that drugs and carnal pleasure is just a counterfeit of what can be experienced in God. The reason why I was broken and depressed and anxious and fearful and I felt purposeless was because I was not in tune with my creator, because I was rebelling against my God, my father, my creator. But once I yielded and surrendered my life to him and experienced his life-giving presence, then I came alive and realized this is the purpose of life, that I would know him and walk with him, and then from that place have a purpose to impact the world for his gospel and for his glory. If you go into the book of Genesis, chapters 1-3, that's what you'll see. Adam and Eve placed in a garden to know God, to walk with him in the cool of the day, and not just to hang out in the garden and pray and worship all day, yes, but also from that place to till the garden, to have dominion, to subdue the earth, to be fruitful, to multiply. So they were meant to walk with God, talk with God in the cool of the day, have intimate relationship with Father, Son, and Spirit. And then from that place, they had a purpose and a mission on this earth to accomplish great things. And the same thing goes for us today. And as believers, we know we're supposed to read our Bible. We know we're supposed to pray. But the question is, are we doing it? This is the foundation of the Christian life. Obviously, we need to know the gospel. We need to know the cross and the resurrection. We know our identity in Christ, yes. But how are we going to know these things if we don't have set aside time to pray? If we aren't in the scriptures every single day and letting the scriptures pierce our hearts and letting the scriptures expose lies that we've believed to bring us into the truth. And so last week, I spoke to you about private prayer. And this is foundational. As a believer, if you aren't setting aside time to pray, then time is of the essence. Do it right now. Get up a little bit earlier. Go to bed a little bit later. Mark out some time in the middle of your day to spend time with the Lord in prayer. Time to worship. Time to praise him. Time to thank him. Time to be still in his presence. Time to break open the scriptures and read his word. And I talked about the rhythm of the early church. And I opened up even how in Jewish culture they had a rhythm of prayer, and how that continued within Christianity to present day, how the saints of old had marked times to pray. And so, you know, before we get into the practice of the presence of God and how we could live a life of unceasing prayer, we first must need to develop a life of private prayer. And I quoted many, you know, saints, and I talked about how starting the day in prayer will help us throughout the day engage with God. If we're starting in his presence, then we can continue our day in his presence, and there's much more ease, there's much more grace in our worship of him. And so we talked about private prayer, and today, along with private prayer, I want to talk to you about the importance of the scriptures. And we're going to keep building on this because, you know, we can't quite get to prayer without ceasing yet. Private prayer, absolutely foundational. Now let's talk about the use of the scriptures. And there's many different levels of how we engage with the scriptures, and I want to open that up. But first, I'm just going to quote some passages here. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. It says that all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. And right here, the Apostle Paul, when he says scripture, he's not talking about his epistles or his letters. He's not talking about even the gospels. He's talking about the Old Testament scriptures, the Jewish scriptures. He's talking about the Psalms, the Proverbs. He's talking about, you know, he's talking about the Torah, which are the first five books of the Bible. He's talking about the prophets. He's talking about the law. He's talking about all these, the Jewish scriptures. And so Paul didn't know that God was inspiring him to write his very words and how we were going to have this canon of 66 books with the gospels, etc. So he's actually talking about the Old Testament scriptures. And when you see in the gospels, Jesus quoting, he quotes Psalms so much. He quotes Deuteronomy. Jesus is quoting from those Old Testament books. So this is powerful. From Genesis to Revelation, the scriptures talk about Jesus. And I'm not going to get into that today, but he is hidden within every passage of the Bible. Revelation of who Jesus is. Jesus told the Pharisees, you guys are searching the scriptures for eternal life, but the scriptures talk about me. And then when he was on the road to Emmaus and the individuals that he was walking with could not see him for who he is, he explained the Messiah. It says Jesus explained to them about the Messiah, how he must die and rise again through the prophets, the Psalms, and Moses. And so, you know, if you read the Psalms and you read the Old Testament passages, Jesus is, you know, the reality of that, the fact that God was going to send his son, that Jesus was going to die, that he was going to rise again, that there was going to a Messiah that was going to rule and reign forever, is all throughout the Old Testament scriptures, which is just incredible. But if you read Psalm 119 as well, it just talks about devotion to the law, to the precepts of God, to the commandments of God, to the scriptures. And I'm just pulling one passage here, but it says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So the word of God is meant to be what guides us every single day. The light that shines on our feet to help, you know, help us understand where to go and what to do in our everyday lives. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then it says in the book of Romans that our faith increases by hearing and hearing the word of Christ. And I can keep quoting scriptures about the importance of the word, the importance of the gospel, the words of Christ, how they need to be foundations in our heart. Just like Matthew chapter 7, it says, if you build your house, if you build your life on sand, then and on unstable ground, then when storms come, that house is going to topple. But if you build your house on the rock, then your house will be secure in storms and all kinds of weather. And he said, the foundation of the rock are my words and my teachings. And so it is very important as believers, we are either being conformed to the world or we're being transformed by the renewing of our mind. At any given moment, we're either being conformed or we're being transformed. So we are called to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And how that looks is, we open up the word of God, the scriptures, and we allow it to penetrate our hearts. The word is a sharp double-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, it says in Hebrews chapter 4. So the word comes and it just sifts lies, and then it reveals truth, and it shows us where we need to repent, and it shows us where we need to believe things differently because Jesus is the truth. And then from there, our minds are changed, our minds are renewed, we see him rightly, we see ourselves rightly, and from that place, we are transformed. As believers, yes, you are born again, you are spirit filled, but we still need to be transformed. And the way we are transformed is by renewing our minds, aligning our hearts and our minds and our beings with the truth of God's word. And so we engage with the word of God on multiple levels. I'm going to talk about five different levels. There are more, and I'm really going to gloss over the fifth one a little bit and just say it. But number one, in our devotion to the Lord, in our time of prayer, we simply just need to read the scriptures. We need to open it up and we just need to begin to read. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will put on your heart a passage to begin with, a book specifically to read. But if we're not reading the scriptures, then you know, people say like, how come God's not speaking to me? How come God's speaking to you? Well, are you opening the Bible? Because those are his words to you. Oftentimes we're looking for a prophetic word. We're looking for a supernatural phenomenon to take place. And yes, I believe in those things. I've had many wild encounters with God where He confirmed something in a supernatural way to me, where individuals came up to me with a prophetic word that was so confirming, so eye-opening. It's like, wow, that's incredible. Or I had an encounter with God where he really spoke to me through the word and it was just unmistakable. Like, this is God. Or I've had dreams where I woke up and I knew it was God, or have visions in my time of prayer and worship, have visions and I knew that it was God and it was confirming. Yes, he could speak through many different ways, but primarily as believers, we need to understand he speaks through his word. So if you're not hearing God in this season, get your face in his book. Open up his book and ask him to speak to you, because the author is present. The Bible is the only book that you read that the author is present with you. Whether you're aware of his presence, whether you're aware of his nearness or not, he is right there and he is with you. And if you open up the scriptures and start reading it, ask him to give you wisdom and revelation. More on that later. But if we're not reading the scriptures, then we can't say that God's not speaking to us. Yeah, he's not speaking to you because you're not in the book. And so, but the thing about reading the scriptures is you could do it just out of a formula. You could just do it out of a discipline. You could just check the box of, hey, listen, I read the scriptures for 5 minutes today, 10 minutes today, move on with your life, and it have not much of an impact. And obviously we don't want that as well. We don't want to just do anything just, you know, in a formulaic way where, hey, we're not even really digesting this. And so, but hey, first of all, you see the set aside time, you need to read the word, but not only read the word, level number two is meditation on the word. And this is very clear. When we, you know, read the Psalms and we read Deuteronomy and we're in the Old Testament passages, it talks about meditating on the scriptures. And that means to pause, to ponder, to reflect, to mutter the scriptures over and over again, quietly in our heart and our soul, to chew, to begin to digest the scriptures, to ruminate over it. And so I'm not just trying to get through Psalm 119 or Psalm 1 or Psalm 2, or I'm not just trying to get through Matthew chapter 1 or Matthew chapter 2. Yes, there is a place for just reading the entire book and just, you know, all of that. But when we begin to meditate on the scriptures, we're actually engaging with God as we're reading. We're not just reading and trying to think about what it means. We're actually engaging with God. And so oftentimes when you're reading the scriptures, something will be highlighted to you. Let's say you're reading, you know, the other day I was reading Psalm 84. And as I was reading through Psalm 84, there was a section that just stood out to me. And it was Psalm 10. And it was talking about how one day in your courts is better than any days outside. And you know, there was 9 verses before that, and I was just reading through them. But when I got to verse 10, it just leaped off the page at me. And because it leaped off the page at me, I was like, okay, let me stop here. Let me not push through the rest of Psalm 84, and let me just sit here for a moment. And I began to think about, one day in your courts are better than 1,000 elsewhere. And then I began to, you know, just ponder that, like, yes, God, you're being with you is better than being with anyone else or being anywhere else. I don't need to travel the world to have excitement and exhilaration in me. No, when I'm in your presence, this is greater than any experience I've ever had. Your relationship with you is better than any person that I, and I just began to ponder this and just think about, one day, God, if there's any area in me that doesn't believe this, help me believe this. And I began to turn that into even prayer and just meditating on that reality. And it begins to transform you from the inside out. And so I began to get into the next level, but level number one, just simply having time to read the scriptures. Level number two is to meditate on the scriptures. And level number three is actually begin to memorize the scriptures. This is like a lost art form. When I first got saved in 2008, going to 2009, I was told to memorize the scriptures. And I don't hear many people talking about that today. Many people think that memorizing the scriptures is just a stuffy practice that we don't have any use for, but that is not true. That is not the case. Memorizing the scriptures is so important. You know, the Jews of old, they would memorize entire books of the Bible. And when they would go to school, they would have the first 5 books of the Bible memorized, and they'd be able to quote entire Psalms. And those Psalms were songs, and they'd be able to sing those Psalms when they were together. They were like hymns for the Jews. They would sing the Psalms because they had them all memorized. And so memorization of scripture is an ancient practice that we need to dig this up again. We need to dive into this path again, because it's been a treasure in my life. We need to hide the word in our heart. It says scribes pull out of their heart treasures old and new. You know, when we put the word of God inside of our hearts, we're actually giving the Holy Spirit something to work with. Like, this is a partnership with God. He doesn't do all the work. He's just not going to land on you and then just give you Psalm 12 to share with somebody in front of you if you didn't hide Psalm 12 in your heart. Like, this is a partnership. If you memorize Psalm 12 and you have Psalm 12 in your heart, then when you're in front of someone and he wants that person to be encouraged by the truths of Psalm 12, then the Holy Spirit helps you pull out of your heart treasures old and new. That treasure was hidden within you because you have allowed the word to richly dwell within you. Now you could pull that out and give it to somebody else. And so we need to hide the word within us. It actually says that in Psalm 119 as well. How does a young man purify his path? By hiding the word inside of his heart. It says in Psalm 119. How do I not sin against you, God? By hiding the word inside of my heart. I need to treasure the word within me. And a part of that is the memorization of the word. This is not a stuffy religious practice. This is vital for the people of God. On my first missions trip, we went to Thailand, Laos, and Malaysia years ago, and Laos is a communist country, and we were actually smuggling Bibles from Thailand into Laos, and it was an exciting experience because growing up, I had this vain thought that isn't true at all, that being a Christian would be boring, that, oh, I'll be a Christian when I'm older, when I have a family or something, when, you know, I want to have fun and live my life now, you know, differently. And I just imagine Christianity be boring. And that is not the case because life got extremely exciting from the moment I became a Christian. It was born again. And one of the wild things, you know, I used to imagine smuggling drugs in the other countries. And, you know, you'd watch these movies of people smuggling drugs or just breaking the law, doing crazy things. And I used to, you know, idolize those horrible people doing those bad things. And then I get saved and I'm smuggling Bibles from Thailand into Laos. And I'm thinking to myself, like, this is crazy. I'm actually doing something wild right now. And like, this is exciting. And I'm doing this with God. It's just like, wow, like people say that Christianity is boring or it's whatever. Like, no, if you're really living for Jesus, yeah, maybe going to church on Sunday and, you know, not truly following the Lord with all of your heart, living a surrendered life. Yeah. But when you're living a surrendered life, the Lord will ask you to do some wild, exciting and crazy things. And so I remember being in, you know, planning this with our missions trip and our teacher saying that we can't bring Bibles with us into Laos. And I remember people on the trip would be like, oh no, I can't bring my Bible. How am I not going to live without my Bible? And I remember thinking to myself, like, you guys need to have a physical Bible on you? Like, you need to have the physical Bible on you? Like, have you guys not memorized the word? Because I'm thinking to myself, like, I have so many passages memorized within my heart that I don't need to have a physical Bible. You know, there's countries where people are severely persecuted and they can't have physical Bibles. Like, I've heard stories about in China, how they would pass around, they would rip out of their Bible, like the book of James or 1st and 2nd Peter, or Ephesians and Colossians. And then they would memorize the entire book. And then they would pass on like the letter, you know, Colossians, and they would pass it on to other prisoners and they would memorize that. And then they would pass it on to others because they couldn't have and people today can't have physical Bibles. So they memorize the scriptures and the scriptures are hidden in their hearts. And I could meditate on any passage if it is in my heart and it is just as real, even more real than seeing it on a page, because you could set a Bible on fire, you could rip a Bible to shreds, but you can't take away what's hidden in my heart. If I deposited the word of Christ in my heart, you can't take that from me. Yes, you can take my life. Yes, you can kill my physical body, but you can't take away what's hidden in my heart. I am an eternal being. And this word living on the inside of me, no one can take from me, because even if you kill my body, I'm going to be with my God in glory and his words will ever live on the inside of me. And so this is a lost practice. And I know many believers still memorize his word. I'm not saying no believers do this, but what I'm saying is within our camp, you know, I do see that we need to revive this in a big way. And so, yes, number one, we need to just spend time reading the scriptures. Number two, we need to meditate on the scriptures that are highlighted to us, ponder, reflect, chew, digest, engage with the text. Number three, we need to memorize the scriptures. So, like I said earlier, Psalm 84, it was highlighted to me. I began to meditate on it. Then I began to memorize it. I just spoke it over and over and over again until I memorized verses 10 through 12 in Psalm 84. And to this day, in the morning, I just go over that passage. I go over that passage, and it strengthens my faith. So from memorization, we go into praying the word. So reading the word, meditating on the word, memorizing the word, and now praying the word. And many people are like, well, I don't know what to pray. I spend time with God and I just don't know what to pray. I don't know what to say to him, because you're just asking God for things. You're going through a laundry list of things that you want or prayer requests for other people. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but you know how powerful it is to pray the word? When you memorize the word and you have it within you, you begin to pray the word back to God. His word is his will. And when you pray his word, you are praying his will over your life. This has been a great gem for me. This has been the foundation of my prayer life. When I come into a set aside time to pray, I begin to exalt him and praise him, because the scriptures say, enter into his presence with thanksgiving and praise. So I begin to praise him and thank him. But oftentimes I'm declaring who he is from the scriptures. You are holy. Our Father, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. You are the King of kings. You are the Lord of lords. You are worthy to be praised. I exalt you, God. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. You are my helper. And as I'm saying these things to God, it's actually the scriptures. It's the word of God. And I'm praying it back to God, but it's strengthening my faith. It's enlivening my heart. It's quickening my spirit. It's strengthening my soul as I begin to declare to God who he is based on the truth of his word. Instead of just saying like, hey, God, here I am today. And, you know, I'm here and you're my, you know, and so many times I could tell if somebody prays the word, because when they pray out loud, they say, God, you know, be with us today and da 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 da. Well, no, listen, I understand. Are you talking about be with you in a manifest way, like to experience his presence? But oftentimes they're just saying, be with us today. That's just like, okay, but the word of God says that he is Emmanuel, God with us. So one way I pray is, God, thank you that you are Emmanuel, that you are God with me, that you never leave me, that you never forsake me, that you have wrapped me in your righteousness, that you are closer than the air that I breathe, that my body is a temple of your Holy Spirit, that you live within me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. You see, I quoted like 5 or 6 verses there from the New Testament and from the Old Testament. And it's because I hid it in my heart and now I'm praying it back to God. And as I pray it back to God, I'm praying perfect prayers. I'm praying his will. But not only that, my faith is growing. My heart is being strengthened. I'm reminding myself of his word and my faith is increasing. And in Psalm 103, King David says, bless my soul. Bless the Lord. He commands his soul to bless the Lord and to remind his soul of the benefits of God. And he begins to declare, you're the one that heals my diseases, that forgives my sins, that redeems my life from the pit. And you crown me with loving kindness and you renew my youth like the eagles. And he just goes on, but he's saying like, soul, bless the Lord. Right now I'm downcast, but soul, bless the Lord. I'm going to remind you of God's promises. I'm going to remind you of God's benefits, that you heal my diseases, that you forgive my sins, that you redeem me from hell. This is who you are and this is what you do. We need to remind our souls as we pray of the promises of God. And then, of course, the fifth level is not just being a hearer of the word, but being a doer of the word. And we see that in Joshua. You know, when we meditate on the scriptures and we obey the scriptures, then we will be prosperous and we will be successful. And we see in James chapter 1, how if we're just hearers of the word, but not doers of the word, then we are self-deceived. And so we can't just hear the word and hear the word and pray the word and pray the word, but then refuse to obey the word. And so, but the beautiful thing is that we need to hide the word in our heart and let it transform us from the inside out so that we can obey the word. If we're doing that, if we are ruminating and pondering and meditating on his word and memorizing his word and praying his word, we are being transformed and we are being renewed. And then from that place, we're actually being strengthened to obey him. We can't obey him without his power and without his spirit empowering us to obey him. I'm very aware that I need him to obey him. I need his Holy Spirit working within me for me to obey him. and for me to do these wild things that he calls us to do, these good works and great exploits that he has called us to. I need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And so, but first, I need to abide with him in prayer, have set aside time every single day, morning, afternoon, and evening, definitely morning and evening, but I would also recommend afternoon. Just like I shared in the last episode, third, sixth, and the ninth hour was the rhythm of the first church when it came to prayer. So I'd have set aside times to pray. So now I'm being empowered by his Spirit because I am enjoying communion with God. And then also to hide the word in my heart, to have Spirit and word working together, to not just have prayer and not just have encounters with God, but also to have time in his word, and not only have his word, but have times of prayer. They need to go together. They need to be wed for me to live a holistic Christian life and an empowered Christian life, healthy, whole. So I'm just going to end with a little bit of advice here. Many people say, well, I don't really know where to begin, or I don't really know how to spend time with God in private. And listen, you either turn your phone off, you need to put on airplane mode, or just shut it off and put it across the room, okay? Because your phone is going to be shouting for your attention. So you need to turn your phone off, put on airplane mode, put it across the room, whatever you need to do. But first, this is how I do it. I'm not trying to give you a formula that you must obey so that you could access God, because there really is no formula. It's just his blood, and it's his, you know, it says in Ephesians 3:12 that we all have access by one Spirit to him and through Christ. And so, but this is how I do it. And I believe the scriptures will even encourage this, and how in the book of Psalms, this is enter into his presence with thanksgiving and praise. And so my heart needs this. When I begin a time of private devotion, I come into his presence by declaring who he is. God, thank you that you are my Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. You are holy. You are perfect. You are beautiful. You're the King of Kings. You're the Lord of Lords. You're the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. You hold my life in your hands. You never leave me. You never forsake me. Thank you, God, for all the blessings that are in my life, for your grace that is poured out. Thank you for forgiving all my sins, for healing all my diseases, for redeeming me from hell. Thank you for crowning me with loving kindness and mercy. Thank you that you tossed my sin in the sea of forgetfulness. Thank you that I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but it's Christ that now lives within me. Thank you, God, that you're here with me right now and that you love me. And then see that? I just quoted about 12 scriptures right there or more. But I enter into his presence, thanking him for who he is, thanking him for what he's done, praising him, extolling him. And as I do that, there is now a sense of God's presence. I begin to feel and experience and sense the presence of God. And now, after I do that, there's a couple things I might do from this place. I might just lay on my face and be silent before him, because he's a holy God. And sometimes words are, every time, words are really insufficient. So I just lay on my face and I just be with him. I might do that. But when it comes to the scriptures, there's also some times where I just sit down and I just open up the scriptures. And you might have, at this point, you might have, you know, something swirling on the inside of you. You might be like, all right, well, I'm thinking John 1 right now, or I'm thinking Ephesians chapter 5 right now. And then you would just open up the scriptures and you begin to read. And I would ask him, Lord, help me understand your word. Baptize me with the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. Open up the eyes of my heart. Open up my eyes to see, my ears to hear, my heart to be perceptive and discerning and open to your words. And I would ask him to illuminate his word to me. And then I would sit down, I begin reading his word. And now I'm reading his word in his manifest presence. Like, I'm feeling him, I'm with him, I'm very aware that he's there. And I'm asking him to move. I'm asking him to speak to me, to open my heart, to tenderize me. And I am now sitting there in his presence. And then the Lord will guide you, you know. You'll have these thoughts of, okay, wow, I'm reading Matthew 4, but Matthew 4 is reminding me of Deuteronomy. And then you go back to Deuteronomy, and then you're reading Deuteronomy, and the Lord will guide that Bible reading time. And sometimes it'll just be a passage, just one passage that sticks out, like I said earlier, and he will have you memorize. It's just a time to memorize and mutter and meditate and all the things I said earlier. And so it really just begins with doing it, family. And if there is a passage that has really blessed you, Over the years, I would highly recommend think about 5 or 6 passages that have really marked you, formed you, blessed you over the years, and remember chapter and verse and memorize that passage and begin incorporating those passages into your prayer time. And this is essential when it comes to the practice of God's presence. So we're going to continue on when it comes to practicals and also just scriptural understanding and revelation on how to practice God's presence. But wanted to lay the foundation on, hey, we need to discipline ourselves to have private devotional time. And in that devotional time, to make the Word of God a priority, and how we engage with the Word of God is extremely important for us to live a transformed life. And so bless you guys. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast so we can get it out to more people so they can be blessed, they can be stirred, they can be awakened by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Make sure to go on YouTube. You can listen to many episodes we have. This episode 249, so there's hundreds of episodes for you to listen to. Bless you guys, and I'll speak to you next time on Awaken Podcast. I want to take a brief moment and invite you to Awaken Dallas. My wife and I pastor this church. We planted it in 2023 with a heart to host God's presence, to raise up lovers of Him that are compelled to go into the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. As believers, we're called to be lovers of Him, but also laborers in His harvest field. We're called to be worshipers of Him, but also warriors that take ground for the kingdom of God. We're called to be sons of God, but also servants of the Lord. And our vision is to know Jesus deeply and to live for Him passionately. And our 4 pillars are, number 1, the presence of God. We need Him more than anything else. We live in His presence and from His presence, and we're equipping the church to do that. Number 2, equipping. We're equipping you with the Word of God. We're equipping you with teaching. We're equipping you through giving you tools and resources to walk in wholeness and fullness in your life, making disciples of Jesus Christ. Number 3, mission. We're a church on mission together, but we're also a church on fire for missions. We believe in going into all the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if you have a heart for missions, you'll feel very at home at our church. There's a lot of people that are missionaries going out on the mission field and have a heart for missions. And number 4, we are a family. As soon as you walk in, you're going to feel that. You're going to sense how the love for that we have for one another, the community that's growing. And so if you're looking for a church in the Dallas area, come out, join us Sundays at 10:30 a.m. You can go to awakendallas.com for more information. See you there.